Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter. 72 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And Jesus said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. In that same hour, he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, or who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. This is the Gospel of the Lord. There's a genre of videos on YouTube and other social media platforms, TikTok, Instagram, and all the rest, where you can find reaction videos, and usually the ones that get the most views are the sorts of things that are either cute or funny, and sometimes a little bit of schadenfreude mixed in, which is like watching someone get a rake in the face or something and you laugh at it. Well, the ones that I sort of like to watch are the ones where you see somebody they enjoy unwrapping a gift, okay? There's actually, by the way, there are children and their families that have made multi-million dollars from the advertisements from these YouTube channels, okay? The channel becomes so popular and through the ad revenue and how many clicks that they get, they just get money rolling in from YouTube. So, you know, if any of you out there are thinking of a career change, you know, I'll help you get started and we can go in on this together. But it's obvious why such videos like that are popular, okay? Like the ones with the little kids unwrapping a toy on Christmas and playing with it. It's cute. It's adorable. It's nice to see them having fun and being excited. All right? The joy in their face is something that is kind of infectious, especially when you get to witness it in person, is it not? We all know, just from our own real-life experience with the people in our lives, the better the gift, usually, the happier the face, the more excited they get. Well, I hope that that was true, that principle of the better the gift, the happier they were. I hope that was true with the 72 that Jesus sent out in today's gospel. And I hope it's also true for us today. Now, for the context of the gospel lesson that I read, you have to go back a little earlier in Luke chapter 10. Maybe go home and read the first part of that chapter, and you'll see Jesus sending out those 72 that are now coming back to him in what was read this morning. He says to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. We need to go people to go out and tell people about me. He sent out those 72 to proclaim peace, heal the sick, and say, God's kingdom is now coming into this world. And he said, whenever you go to a town to these 72 and they receive you, do all of that, all the good stuff. Tell them the good things, heal them of their illnesses, cast out whatever needs cast out. But if they reject you and the message that you bring, you need to wipe your hands of them, get the dust off your feet as you leave them and their town. And so, to our gospel. We have the gospel today of those 72, after doing what Jesus told them to do, coming back and reporting to Jesus, and they marvel to him. They say when they get back, this is crazy, even demons were subject to us in your name. We went out and did what you told us to do, and we're exorcising demons, and they say, in the name of Christ, I'm gone. Isn't that wonderful? They had been sent out as ambassadors of the kingdom of God in Christ, and God had obviously, to everybody who witnessed it and experienced it, and to them themselves, God was obviously working through them. Even when you believe it, even when you're a follower of Jesus like those 72 were and many of the other people became, it still undoubtedly had to have been a marvelous thing to witness. But the thing is, when they come back and they report all of this to Jesus, even the demons were subject to us in your name, Jesus, in response, doesn't just kind of nod in agreement like, yeah, that's what happens. No, he doesn't just agree with their wonderment either, like, you should be surprised. No, he actually, in his response to them, ups the ante. Here again his words. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. That's his response. Now, if you go back earlier in Luke 10, he doesn't state that. He doesn't say that's what he's giving them to do. That's the power that they're going to have. Or at least he doesn't say that explicitly. This is the first time that information is coming to their ears. That's quite a gift, isn't it? He already sent them out to heal people, just like he was healing them, and they did. Demons were subject to them in Christ's name, as they reported. And on top of this, just like Paul later on in the book of Acts, even power over poisonous serpents is theirs as ambassadors for Christ. Mastery of enemies. I never watched it, even when I was homesick from school. You've probably heard of a daytime talk show called Oprah. Okay? The younger people here are probably like, who's that? And that's probably good that you don't know who that is. But every once in a while, Oprah, on her show, would have this thing where she had a lot of money. She would give gifts to everybody in the audience. I don't know what you had to do to get a ticket to that show, but they were not like, you know, cheap plastic gifts. It's like everybody got a car or something or a new washing machine, and she'd always make a big deal out of it. And she'd be like, and you get a car, and you get a car, and you get a car. Well, that's kind of what it's like with Jesus here telling these 72 what they can do. And you can do this, you can do this. It's amazing. Now, Lutherans, we like to talk about what we call first article gifts. Right? And that harkens back to the first article of the Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, right? God creates us, he blesses us according to our physical need, and sustains us. And I'd say that these things that he's telling the disciples, rather the 72 that they are receiving, those we can classify pretty clearly under first article gifts. And they're toward the top of the list, too. Okay? Imagine this encounter. Right? Oh, you have a jet ski. That's great. Well, guess what? Snakes bite me and nothing happens. Oh, you have a, you know, 10,000 square foot house. That's nice. I can heal people. Those are good gifts to have. Who could argue with these things being great that Jesus has given the 72? Who here would say, not a good thing to have? And yet that's kind of what Jesus does in the next breath. Or at least he does so subtly and implicitly. After telling the 72 upon their return of all the wonderful things that they have done, can do, and will do in their ministry, Jesus puts a massive yes, but at the end. Here again his words. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Now, I think it's fair to say that Jesus says those words to them because he knows that's easier said than done. Throughout his ministry, a problem that Jesus has to deal with time and time and time again is people caring more about the physical things and blessings that he brings. The obvious one is the food miracles are always crowd pleasers. Everybody always wants to be a part of one of those. But when he goes on to talk about the discourse of him being the true bread that came down from heaven, meh, not so much. I'd rather have more bread and fish, please. And so for that reason, with these 72, Jesus tries to head off misplaced excitement at the pass with this very reasonable, very good, and very true qualifier. It's not that the stuff that he gave them to do, those miraculous gifts to perform, that they weren't gifts, that they weren't good, that they weren't noteworthy. All of them, of course, were. It's just that those things, having mastery over demons, healing people, being immune to snake bites, all of them pale in comparison with the weight of eternal glory that awaits those who die in the Lord. It's great to be fed, to have a meal, isn't it? But how much greater is it to have for your very own the true bread of life? It's good to have power to heal. How much better to have the promise from the Lord, you will be raised immortal forever. To have one's name and place written in heaven, secure there, nothing in this world comes even close. And so Jesus bids the 72 upon their return and their excitement. He says, rejoice in that fact. And whatever other happiness or joy you have at these things or other things, let it fall by the wayside. And as it was true for them, my hope and prayer and admonition is that it would be true for us here as well. Now, unless in one of those talent surveys that we've done over the years, any of you have held back, I don't think any of you have those miraculous powers that the 72 had. Bird? Yes? No? Okay, no. All right, that's fine. But all of you here do have gifts from God all the same, do you not? You have family. You have a home. You have money. You have health. You have churchly things too, good things about being members of Calvary, a congregation, the activities, and once in a while, a service with hymns that you actually like to sing. Good things. But what are those things compared to the main thing? The main thing of who you are in Jesus Christ. You have him and you have his salvation. Your names are written in heaven. As much as you are thankful for all the rest that you have in life from God, I hope you are most thankful for that. Amen.